the time. Much, much better. We should be that excited. We shouldn't just be excited that way on Sunday. We need to be excited every day. Because guess what? This scripture has been going around in my head week after week, and I shared it a couple of weeks ago. That spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living on the inside of you. How could you not be excited? Amen. And I can tell you right now, I know I was not the only one last night at the Mercy Me concert, which was awesome. I had an opportunity to teach the Armor Bearer class this morning, which was awesome, which means I'm fired up. So, with that being said, I was just thinking about the words of that song we just sang this morning, which was, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. Awesome statement. And I think we're going to have an opportunity this morning to do that. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you for an opportunity to be here today, but most especially, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word never returns void, and that people would have supernatural ears to hear your word today, supernatural hearts to be receptive to your word, and that it would take root and produce in their lives. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what I had on my mind, guys. I was with you guys a couple weeks ago under very different circumstances, and I'm glad I'm here today under much better circumstances. And the message I had prepared, actually, the message I gave 2 weeks ago was the message that was supposed to be for today. So it kind of got kicked up a couple weeks because of the set of circumstances. So I was praying, asking God, what the heck am I going to talk about and minister about today? And God dropped this message in my lap. And I got to be point blank honest with you and transparent with you. I didn't want to give it. But I have to be obedient, right? So here's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, there is a self-inflicted character defect, or what I would consider to be a defect of the flesh, that many Christians have to deal with. And it's what I call the I's and they's. So I want everybody to stand up right now. We're exactly where you're at. I want you to put your hand on your chest, and I want you to say, I. And I want you to look at your neighbor, pick one, point to them, and say, they. And let's do it one more time. I and they. And you might figure out, when I said, by the way, when I just said, you guys can all be seated, when I said there's a self-inflicted character defect that we're infected with, you guys kind of looked at each other and did one of these, like, not me. Well, I hope not you, but I hope by the end of today you might take a look at some things, because I'm pretty sure right now you guys have no clue where I'm going with this. So what I'm talking about when I talk about the I's and they's, and I talked about them being a character defect, are pride and offense. Rough subject, right? The reason why I have a bit of a concern is this type of message can unfortunately invoke those things in people when they listen to it. When you start ministering on pride and offense or about pride and offense, people get prideful and offended. And that's what is always a concern of mine. But I tell you right now, if somewhere during the course of this message you're squirming a little bit in your seat, remember, first and foremost, I love you guys. I preface every message by saying that. Not here to beat you guys up, but I really want us to realize a couple of things. If you look around this church building, and if you look around the AGC family as a whole, I am a firm believer in this, and this is nothing I've really shared with Pastor and Carol. Of course, my wife knows. I believe it's time for a change. I believe we're in a time of change. If you look around this building, things are changing. The new sanctuary is the old sanctuary, and that's being done. There's a bathroom project that, thank God, just got completed, right? The youth church has new TVs and a new curriculum. And I'm going to steal Pastor Eddie's thunder, who's not here today, God is looking for a few good men and a few good women to stay here and to stay plugged in here and help us grow. Amen? And that's the type of change that I'm talking about. But pride and offense is something that can be the biggest blessing blocker in a Christian's life. It, to the point of where it ruins churches, it ruins families, and it ruins lives. Again, if you're squirming your seat a little bit, I'm talking to everybody and nobody. This message has nobody came to my mind when this message came up. It was just a message I think we can all benefit from, certainly myself included. So first and foremost, let's look at the word pride and what the actual definition of pride is. A feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. You know, I was thinking about being proud of people, meaning like, you know, I think a lot of us are okay with, hey, I'm proud of my kids. You know, I'm proud of what they've accomplished. I'm proud the way they've grown up. But a different kind of pride, maybe more of a feeling of satisfaction in knowing that they're okay. That's not the type of pride I'm talking about. I'm talking about that feeling derived from one's own achievements. Look at me, how great I am. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I was starting to meditate on what is pride? And we're going to look at today, how does pride operate inside the local church and what does it cause? And I was thinking that pride's a mask. Pride is us trying to cover up and control our situation in our own strength. Because we got this. I was one of those I got this kind of guys. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She will tell you I got this. You know, I would go down the parkway driving along and I would put that Sinatra song in the CD player. I did it my way because I got this. Took me a lot of years to realize my ways were certainly nowhere near the best ways. One of the reasons I want to give this message is I hope you'll avoid a lot of the things that I went through when I didn't get a hold of pride. So pride's a mask for us trying to control our situation and our own strength, and it can also be us trying to cover up our own insecurities. I know back in my life years ago, I loved to talk about me. You know why I loved so much to talk about me and how great I was? Because I didn't feel great on the inside. I felt miserable. I was absolutely miserable. So I tried to make myself feel better in every way possible. You know, how many vacations can we go on? How many cars and houses can we buy? How many times can we tell stories about how great we are, right? And I didn't forget about Matthew 26. We're going to go there in a second. So pride really is selfish. No other way to put it. Pride is selfish. Now let's look at offense, or the word offended. It's an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself or one's standards or principles. And again, I was meditating then on offense. What really is offense? What's another way to think of offense? And it really was offense judges. It makes a decision based on what we perceive someone or something else has done to us. Once again, sounds a little selfish. And if you don't think these two things are resonant inside the church, you're mistaken. And we're going to talk about that. I've seen all of this in action, especially over my 8 years here at Abundant Grace. And I'm sure, and I know for a fact, it happens everywhere throughout the body of Christ. So let's go to Matthew 26. And we're going to look at some people's lives in the Bible and how what happened to them with pride and offense. Matthew 26, and we're going to start in verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.'" Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. How did Peter work out? He blew it. But Peter thought he had it all together, right? He thought he had all his stuff and all lined up, his ducks in a row. I got this, Jesus. I'm never going to deny you. And if I have to die with you, I'm going to do it. Put yourself in Peter's situation. Put yourself in your own situation, maybe something similar that's really coming against you. When the rubber met the road, Peter's, I'll take care of this. Peter's pride crumbled, like Pastor always says, like a wet taco. It went away. I got it. I got this. No problem. I got this. No worries. I'll die with you if I have to. Didn't happen, right? So many times in our pride, what we build ourselves up to can't stand through trial, tribulation, and circumstance. Why? It's false. Pride is false. Pride is fear at times. We talked about this a couple weeks ago and I was here. False evidence appearing real. Well, when we're prideful, when we boast about ourselves, many times I could tell you, maybe you never dealt with this, I did, my own insecurities, was prideful and boastful about things I never really did. Well, you know, let me embellish my story a little bit. You know, let me tell a little bit, let me make it a little bit better, right? Because I was afraid. I was afraid of being found out for who and what I really was. And that was prideful. So Peter here in his situation, his pride didn't work out. Let's look at another verse. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 31. And this is Peter again. As he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again, he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine hanging out with Jesus and you're rebuking him? Arrogant? Pride? Right? And he rebuked him, Peter saying, get behind, let's go back, him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter thought that his way, telling Jesus, no, you're not doing that, was better. And you might say to me, what does that mean for me? Well, how many of us in here have ever been disobedient to God? We just didn't do something God told us to do. What is that? Us thinking our way is better than Jesus' way. No different than what Peter did. Amen? So Peter finds himself in this moment where he gets rebuked by Jesus. I hope none of us are going to get rebuked by Jesus because he loves us. But Peter was physically there with him, and it had to be dealt with on the spot, right? But pride, and that verse of scripture sums up what Peter's pride was. Peter's pride was more concerned about the things of men in the world rather than the things of God. The scripture says that. It says he was more concerned about the things of men rather than the things of God. And that's what pride does. Pride makes us to be more than we are about ourselves so we can feel better about the things of the world or the way other people look at us and perceive us. And I promise you, I'm going somewhere with this about the church, okay? Now, that's Peter's pride. Let's look at Peter's offense, because he did both. Now, it's important, I shared this upstairs a little bit earlier. It's important to remember that this is the rock that the church was built on. This is still Peter, and he messed up. And thank God when we mess up, we can go right to God and just say, hey, Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9, I'm sorry. And I know myself, this is something, when it comes to pride and offense, I need to do almost on a daily basis. And I just want to be transparent and bring it to you guys too, because I think this is something all of us deal with. Why? We have a flesh, right? So let's look at Peter's offense. John chapter 21, let's start in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter was offended because Jesus told John, you're going to live out your life and die of natural circumstances. Pastor ministered on it a couple of weeks ago. Peter got offended. So now Peter's prideful and Peter's offended. Can we be? He walked with Jesus and he was prideful and offended. We walk with Jesus every day too. And we got newsflash. We can be prideful and offended. But aren't you glad Jesus is in the restoration business? What you're going to realize from this next verse of scripture I'm going to read, and then we're going to talk about, like I said, the church, is Jesus restored Peter from his denial and also restored him from his offense even before he got offended. Jesus knows. He knows. 2 Kings chapter 5, another verse of scripture about somebody else that got offended. And this is a real blatant, obvious one. Remember I told you earlier that offense can be a blessing blocker? Here's an example of how offense was almost a blessing blocker. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Naaman then found out about Elijah, right? Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a message to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal his leprosy. Hang out there for a second. He got offended. He got offended. He goes, no. This guy's sending somebody to come see me? No. Does he know who I am? We were kidding on the way home from Mercy Me last night, me and Joey, about something. Does this guy know who I am? Oh, somebody was trying to cut me off in the parking lot. And I think Jody turned around and said, don't they know who you are? You know, kidding around. But this was Naaman's attitude. Does this guy not know who I am? Yo, he's got to come to me. He's got to come to me for my healing. Have you ever told God how he should do things? Because he tells you one way and you get a little offended. But I ain't doing that. Nope. God put something on your heart. Nope, I ain't doing it. I'm going to do it. I think God should do it this way. We get offended. Naaman got offended. So let's go on. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He thought it all the way through. Are not Abana and the Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child and was clean. So finally, Naaman gets on board. The offense, somebody has to come help him out and minister to him. That's what I'm trying to do today. The offense goes away, and he gets healed. But another thing you recognize in this scripture Because this is what Naaman did. And this is another thing about another character of offense. Offense gets angry. Offense gets angry. And that's important because when we're angry, we have a tendency to make snap decisions we should not ever make. A lot of you people in here, I'm sure, know the HALT principle. Anybody not? Well, I'm going to tell you what the HALT principle is if you don't know it. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. That's the times in which you never make a decision. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Why? Because you're not built up to the best of your ability. That's when the enemy tries to come in and tell you what decision you should make. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and offense gets angry. All right, you guys good? Naaman almost missed his healing because of his pride and offense, and so can we. Now let's look at pride and offense. This is what I wanted to get to. Those scriptures were all about getting us to this point, and that is pride and offense within the local church. You guys may have heard me use this analogy before, but it's the clearest cut one I can use, and it's to the point. We are looking for a few good men and a few good women. This church and every church, it's a huge undertaking to run, right? Not only a financial undertaking, but it's a huge undertaking to the point where we need people. There's so many ministries going on inside this church, you know, and they're not, and I was sharing this in the last couple of weeks with the Armor Bearer class. There are so many, all these ministries aren't just Sunday and Wednesday night ministries. Although it's, you see people in action on Wednesday nights and Sundays, and there's things going on all week. You know, the children's ministry is an all-week ministry. Celebrate Recovery is an all-week ministry. The nursing home ministry is an all-week ministry. Pastors and Carol's pastoral ministry is a 24/7 ministry. It takes people. We're looking for a few good men and a few good women, and this is why I wanted to talk about this today. And what I've been talking about in the Armor Bearer class is no one ministry is more important than any other ministry. No one person is more important than any one other person. So, this is where you guys might start squirming a little. I love you. This is something I have to walk out every day myself. If Pastor or Carol came up to you tomorrow and said, Louie, I need you to clean that toilet, would you do it? And if their first instinct inside you says, no, offense, pride. More pride in this case than offense. Would you clean that toilet? There's people right now in churches all over the country and the world that if their pastor said to them, hey, I need you to do me a favor. Somebody just had an accident. Can you clean that toilet? And they'll say, not this guy, not this girl. Did Jesus or did Jesus not wash the feet of his disciples? Did he come to serve or be served? He came to serve. Service is service. I don't care if you're part of our janitorial staff or you're leading the music ministry in praise and worship. Jobs are equally important. Don't be too prideful to miss your area of service. Number two, I was thinking about the soup kitchen. People don't look like, act like, or even smell like what we're used to. I was thinking about this. There was a story I read somewhere, and there was a pastor who was just starting as a new pastor in a church, right? People knew him. It was probably more of a denominational setting where the board kind of voted in this pastor and they agreed to have him. So his first Sunday, what he did was he snuck into service early, like before anybody got there. He sat back in the corner of his sanctuary and he dressed in rags. He purposely put some sort of chemical on him that made himself smell, made himself dirty, covered himself up in a hood, and sat in the corner of his church. Praise and worship gets on, and I'm kind of paraphrasing the story, but this is the way it went. Praise and worship gets on, and it's a great praise and worship time. Somebody comes up to introduce their new pastor. And guess what? The guy in the rags who smelled in the back of the church got up, tore off his rags, had a suit or was dressed, whatever, underneath, went up on the pulpit, and he goes, "I'm shocked and appalled because not one of you came up to me and said, 'How you doing? Can I pray for you? I love you.'" Why? Because he didn't look right, he didn't smell right, he wasn't dressed right. We can't have that attitude. You know, maybe when you came to Christ, maybe you smelt fine, maybe you looked fine, maybe you looked all put together, but how are you on the inside? What's the difference if you were battered, broken on the inside, but outwardly looked good because you were prideful about your appearance? Is it any different than that person that looks banged up, beat up, doesn't smell right? No. It's just that they exhibit that inward thing outwardly. We're all the same. This is all like, you know, again, this ties in with what Pastor's been ministering on these last couple weeks about love. It's all about love. So pride will get you out of love. It'll get you out of love with God. He still loves you, but when we're prideful, we're not exhibiting the love of Christ at work in us because we're not ministering to others. When we have those kind of, and the next thing I want to talk about is predispositions of people. The other thing of what happens with pride inside the local church is predispositions. But before I get to predispositions, I want to let you know what causes predispositions about people, and that's gossip. I'm not immune to it. I don't think anybody in here is immune to gossip. I've learned over a lot of work to try to stop it and cut it off in its tracks. But here's what gossip does. "Hey, did you hear about what brother so-and-so did?" "Oh, I never met him." "Oh, you didn't?" "No, I've never met him. He's kind of new in the church. I haven't an opportunity to go up and say hello, but oh, you got to hear what he did. He did this, he did this, he did this." Now, I've never met the person, and I've got this predetermined whole situation built up in my head about that person's character. God help me if I allow that to influence me to not go up and meet that person. Because so many times I've been in that situation where I've gone up and met the person and I'm like, what was this guy who just told me all about this thinking? This is a nice guy. Pride and offense will cause predetermined predispositions about other people. "Oh, I'm offended because of that way that person smells." Come on, we can't do that, right? "I don't like the way they talk." We can't do that either. You know, if everybody in the church all over the country had to get cleaned up before they came to church, churches would be empty. I might have looked good outwardly when I walked in this church, but I was a wreck on the inside. Made me, like I said, no different than that guy sitting back there in rags, smelly, for lack of a better term, and looking banged up and beat up. We should surround that person with love. You know, I see things, just things I've seen. Nobody in particular, like I said, came to mind, but I have seen people right here fight over that chair. "That's my seat. Somebody's in my seat." A lot of empty seats. They're not going to be empty for long when we get these few good men and women plugged in. But empty seat. "That's my seat. Praise God, that's my seat. Sister so-and-so took my seat." So take another one. Sit next to somebody you've never met before. Talk to them. Sit next to the guy who's ragged and smelly. Say hello, "I love you, Jesus loves you, please stay. Have some cake and coffee and fellowship with us." Anyway, gossip, predispositions. Pride in other areas of service happen inside the local church. If you think for one second I have not heard this statement in operation inside the body of Christ that I'm about to say, you're wrong. I'm more talented than so-and-so. Why are they doing that instead of me? The reason why they're doing that instead of you is because you just made that statement. We do everything to the glory of God, not to the glory of people. Amen? It happens. There's pride in the local church. There's pride in every church. I'm more talented than so-and-so. Pride and offense inside the local church will cause people to leave churches for all the wrong reasons. Tell you a little story. People do leave churches for all the wrong reasons. Buckle up. Not talking to anybody in particular. Love you all. Say that probably every time I'm up here. Love every one of you. But here's what happens. If you're a person that has bounced from church to church to church, and the reason why you leave a church is always because of somebody else, they're not the problem. We are when we do that. The common denominator in the equation is you, not everybody else. I've seen so many people even leave here. I'm going to be point blank honest. And I scratch my head, and maybe I'll talk to Pastor about it or Pastor Eddie about it. I'm like, what happened? You know, because I'd like to try to help. I don't call for gossip reasons or I got to know the story. I'm like, what can I do to help? And this has happened often. You know, I have a tendency actually to call Pastor Eddie, you know, because we just click in that way. And he'll be like, dude, you believe this? This people left because of that? Like, at this point, I believe anything. But the bottom line is offense gets angry. Angry makes a decision to leave, and pride stops you from coming back. There are people in here that I know, the day that we started coming to this church, that want to come back here. I don't physically know that, but in my spirit, I know that. And pride is stopping them from coming back. If you've been plugged into this church for a long time, I challenge you to pick up the phone today, call somebody that you haven't seen in years, and say, man, we'd love to have you back. Maybe there's some people we wouldn't. No, I'm kidding. My point being is, that's worth repeating. Offense gets angry, people make snap decisions in anger, and then pride stops them from coming back. All the time, people leave for the stupidest reasons. I got no other way to put it. Amen? So, I think we can see that pride is at work inside the local church. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That word haughty in the Hebrew literally means exaltation and grandeur. So, we could actually look at it like, it literally says, pride goes before destruction, and how great I think I am goes before the fall. Certainly happened for me in my life, no doubt. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, I can go on and on about verses that have to do with pride and offense. It actually appears, the pride or the form of the word proud appears 107 times in the Bible. I think God's trying to tell us something. So, we looked at pride inside the local church. Let's wrap this up with how we recognize the characteristics of pride and how we get it out of our lives. Amen? Number one pride characteristic, it's an independent spirit. Refusal to look to God or others for help. I got this. Don't need God. I'll do it my way, just like the song. That's the number one characteristic of pride. Now, don't look at this in other people, because then you're being judgmental. Look at it in yourself. Number two, a failure to admit mistakes. Anybody besides me not like to admit they're wrong? You don't have to raise Joey's hand for him. I could raise both hands on that one. I don't like to admit I'm wrong. One of the hardest things I have to do is tell my wife, you're right, I'm wrong. Right, honey? Yes. Yep. Number three, a rebellious attitude towards those in authority. Pastor says, I'd like you to clean the toilet. You go, no way I'm doing that. You're rebellious to someone in authority. Your job, your workplace. Your boss tells you, I really need you in a half hour earlier. I need my sleep. Rebellious to those in authority. I think we can go on and on and on that. How about this one? A proud countenance, meaning that look on your face is thumb my nose at you. Me and my wife have a teasing thing that just thumbing my nose in my ivory tower. That kind of look. That look that, and we're going to look at somebody who probably had that look in a second. A self-centered conversation. The eyes. I. Somebody's telling you a story. And we've kind of, we've had experience with these in reverse, where you tell somebody, hey, I just got back from a great vacation. Yeah, I went down to Puerto Rico, stayed at this great resort. Oh, wait a second, I just got back from Australia. Spent 25 days on a clipper ship out on the Great Barrier Reef. And you always meet that person that's done something a little bit better than you all the time. They're easy to get offended by. But you gotta, hey, in love, okay, maybe I'm just not gonna tell them my stories about my vacations anymore. But that's that person that has a self-centered conversation. Just got a promotion at work. Yeah, I got 10 in the last 2 weeks. Probably not even true, right? Here's another one. Intolerance towards the mistakes of others. One I got to work on a lot. I got to work on this one often. I don't like mistakes. I don't like to make them. I don't like to admit them. Pride. I have pride, right? I don't like when others make them, but we need to be tolerant of them. If we never make a mistake, we never learn and grow. We're going to make mistakes. End of sentence. I don't care if you're 15 or 95, you're going to make mistakes. Whew, here's another one. A bossy attitude. Anybody else? Just me? Bossy attitude. I was just talking upstairs in the armor bearer course. There's a difference between a boss and a leader. A leader leads from the front. He encourages, she encourages, they teach. A boss gives orders. We need to encourage, teach, lead from the front, not give orders. And here's the last one. A need for the things they do to be recognized or seen by others. Man, that's true. All of that's true. If you're doing what you're doing of service here in the ministry for a pat on the back, for everybody else to say, oh, look what they're doing. Bless God. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. It's for the love of God. For God so loved the world, he gave, which means we should give, right? That's not why we do things. So we looked at the, and again, it's a blessing block. It's a blessing blocker. It'll also, when you have that attitude of being, I want to be seen, you'll miss opportunities, ministry opportunities, you know, because it says God resists resists the proud, right? So how do we overcome? So I said all this to get to this point. How do we overcome the eyes and the theys, the pride and offense? First and foremost, we need to recognize the characteristics I just talked about. If they're resonant in your life, you need a little check. You need to check yourself, and you need to rearrange some things. You need to work on some stuff. Matthew 7:3 says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't consider the plank in your own? Amen? Check yourself. If any of those characteristics I just mentioned are working in you, it's time. It's time to check yourself. Here's another one that I see often inside, right here in Abundant Grace. Recognize that Pastor and Carol, Pastor Eddie and Melissa, and all the other leadership here at the church are human beings. Do not put them in a position on a pedestal that it's impossible for them to live up to. And you might say, well, why are you saying that? Because I've seen people leave because they've done that. They're human beings, right? We're all human beings. We have to deal with circumstance. I'm pretty sure unless Pastor's a contortionist, gets up in the morning and puts his pants on the same way I do. You're not a contortionist, right? But what am I saying that for? Because people get offended. Well, they had some people over their house and I wasn't invited. I'm leaving. I don't know if that's ever happened. I'm just using that as an example. But you see what I'm saying? You can't put Pastor Carol, all the other pastoral staff, and leadership on a pedestal that they can't live up to. The only person that can live up to those standards is Jesus. Right? Here's another one. If you want to overcome pride and offense, always remain teachable. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." It literally says, stupid. We have to be able to remain teachable. Pride tells us, I don't need to know anymore. It does. It says, I'm sorry. I've learned everything I need to know. I'm the best at what I do. Pride remains unteachable, and we need to remain teachable. If you're in a group of people, and you feel like you're, and I'm not saying this in a prideful way, if you feel like maybe you're the most advanced in your group as far as knowledge goes, find a new group. Really, you want to be the person that knows the least in your group. You want to learn from other people in all areas. Certainly in your walk with the Lord, you want to learn that in business. I know what I know. I want to be around people that know what I don't know. That's the people I want to be around. I don't want to be too prideful to say I need help. You know, I've been in sales for 24 years, 25 years. I don't know everything. And it's a recent realization. Oh, because why? I was prideful. It's a fairly recent realization that I don't know everything. Also, remember that people that are maybe you would consider to be newer Christians than you, well, I've been saved 30 years. That person's only been saved 2. You can learn something from them. Right? Always remain teachable. Here's another one. Live in a no-judgment zone. Take time to get to know somebody before you make a snap decision, like I said earlier, about their character because what you have observed or because of what somebody told you about them. And I'm going to use myself as an example. I can absolutely come across as stuffy, arrogant, and prideful. Nobody's ever asked me why. I've had people in business that worked for me that said, well, we couldn't come to you because we were afraid of you. And I'm going to be honest with you. And if you don't believe what I'm about to say, you can ask my wife and she will tell you it's absolutely 100% true. I come across that way because by nature I'm shy. And people will be like, how in the world could that be? By nature, I'm shy. How could I be up here? Because it's what God's called me to do, not because I'm not shy. You know what? I have no problem in business talking to a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, but sometimes I just don't want to call and order a pizza. You find that funny, but it's true. My wife can go up to that person at the Mac counter. Time out when I said Mac counter. Anybody that has a wife that's either been in like modeling or theater or just a real girly girl, you guys know the Mac counter, right? But she can go up to the Mac counter and say, oh, I love your eyelashes. I love your makeup. Oh, it's awesome. And I could see a guy in like his suit and be like, I ain't saying anything, man. That's weird. I'm shy by nature. You don't know what the Mac counter is? makeup counter. Right, you're close. Exactly. But that's my point. I am by nature shy. My wife, she confirmed it. I am, right? That's just the way I am. There's things I won't ask for directions. Why I feel weird. You know, but that's my own insecurities that I have to conquer. And I'm trying to step out and stretch myself outside my comfort zone. So don't live in a no-judgment zone. Make your own determination about somebody in a loving way. Don't rely on what somebody else tells you about them. And guys, I'm wrapping this up so you can come up here. Here's another one. Cultivate humility in our lives and be humble. You want to overcome pride and offense? Cultivate humility in your life and be humble. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Remember, pride is about our glory, and humility is about God's glory. Avoid your ego. Everybody knows the ego, right? What your ego is. Me, 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 me. But you know what ego, I believe, stands for in our Christian walk? Is edging God out. That's your ego. When we say we, or my, we take God right out of the picture. So pride is about our glory, and humility is about God's glory. Here's another one. Avoid false humility. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other man, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess," and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Don't be that, "Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm this good, that I can be this good," because that's your own strength, right? You're no more righteous today than the day you got saved. You are only who you are through Jesus Christ. End of sentence. We have to avoid false humility. Here's another. This is what we're going to wrap these up with, a couple. Submit to authority. Like I said, if you're in an area of service here, pastor asks you to do something that's outside your comfort zone, or it's something you don't want to do because I'm not going to do that. Submit. Just submit. Again, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He came to serve, not be served. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Again, something we've been covering in the Armor Bearer class, cultivating the heart of a servant. Pastor and Carol's position here at the church is appointed by God. Not by men, by God. Submit to authority. The church, the local church, the ministries here at the church work by submission to authority. You know, if your leaders inside the church ask you to do something in your service, do it. The only qualifier is it has to line up with God's word. If it doesn't line up with God's word, take it up the chain of command. Nobody here should ever ask you to do something that doesn't line up with the word of God, but submit to authority. Avoid gossip. Like I said, gossip is a mess. And guys, I'm calling you guys out. Some of us guys can be worse than the women. By a lot. And if you say otherwise, you're lying. Sorry. Seen it. Lived it. Remember this. Gossip stops when it meets one obedient Christian. I am not going to buy into that. You guys heard me say a couple weeks ago, my thing when somebody comes up to me and wants to gossip, and it's not because they're here, but you know, you guys could have a barbecue on a Sunday and it turns into a roast pastor, right? Just the way it is. Remember this saying, if you guys haven't heard me say this, walk a mile in their shoes. Six words will change your life when it comes to gossip. Walk a mile in their shoes. Agree to disagree. Sometimes we just can't get offended. We just got to agree to disagree. We will never agree on everything. Husbands and wives, you don't agree on everything. Amen? People here inside the local church, at Abundant Grace, in the ministries, don't agree on everything. Sometimes you just need to agree to disagree. And lastly, this is what it all culminates with. This is the end-all, be-all when it talks about overcoming, or we talk about overcoming pride and offense. And that's cultivate an attitude where our love of Jesus has to outweigh our love of self. We do what we do because God first loved us. Everything, you want, just like Pastor's been ministering on in his series, All of this works by love. Cultivate an attitude where our love of Jesus outweighs our love of self. Amen? Let's just close out in prayer. Father God, I thank you again for an opportunity to be here, Lord. I believe as we go through these weeks to come, that we'd all check ourselves, that pride and offense, if it's resonant and if it's in us, that we'd start to eradicate it, Father. And you've given us perfect examples of how to do it in lives of people in the Bible, in Scripture that deal with it, Father, and that we can apply it to our lives and we can change. Everybody can change. You know, I always use the example, can a leopard change its spots? The world says no, God says absolutely. So as we endeavor to eradicate pride and offense from our lives, that people would stay here, be plugged into this church, this place, Father. As we grow, we need a few good men and a few good women. And you know who they are, Lord, and we just ask to bring them. Bring them here. The doors are wide open. They're welcome with loving arms, Father. And we're just going to just increase and increase. And Lord, I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.